ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة.
Muslim family.
Islamic family paradigm.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of the Most High, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to the program Muslim Family, which is being broadcasted to you from the holy city of Qom, the Islamic Republic of Iran, the Call of Islam radio station. This program is a very new program, Muslim Family, and in it we've tried to talk about issues which we think are applicable to our everyday lives. And because we know that family is a very important pillar and element, we decided that it's very necessary to talk about the role model that Islam gives to its followers, even in a modern society like the one that we are living in. Thank you very much for choosing to listen to COI, for choosing to listen to Muslim Family. Please stay tuned with us.
Muslim Family, a program from the Call of Islam.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, once again, welcome to the program Muslim Family. I'm Fatima Shamili talking to you from the Call of Islam radio station. The expert of this program is Dr. Abbas Ali Shamili. He holds a PhD degree in culture and values in education from the University of McGill, Canada, and he's the staff member of the International Center for Islamic Studies, or Jamiatul Mustafa Al-Alamiyah. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to our program.
Wa alaikum assalam, not only to yourself, but to all audiences who are listening to this program.
Thank you very much for accepting to be the expert of this program. We hope we provide an interesting and challenging discussion for those who are listening to our voice today, inshallah.
I hope so.
Okay, in the last session, last week, we talked about the necessity of rule-basedness of relationship between the opposite sexes in Islam. Now, we're saying that a lot of people say that, religions have generally been sent for centuries ago, when in the case of Islam, it's like 14 centuries ago. And come on, give me a break. I mean, how can a human being of the modern society adapt to that, those certain rules? So can we say that the rules of Islam are applicable to man living in the modern society? Now, one point that I want to attract the attention of our listeners is that when we say, are the rules of Islam applicable to today's world, we're indirectly giving an idea that the people of today's world are different from the people of the day that Islam was sent in. So, Dr. Shamili, my first question is, are the rules of Islam applicable to the people living in the 21st century, in the modern time?
With regard to this very important question, very important, I believe, I could afford two types of answers. One in general, and second in particular.
Okay.
In general, I believe that the very source, the very reference of religiosity and religion is not human knowledge, is not human experience, is not the long process of trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
It's revelation, the divine knowledge.
Right.
So when you talk about religion, you talk about knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about revelation. So the very base of all religions, of course, divine religion, not man-made,
right,
is revelation and the divine knowledge. So if this is the case, divine knowledge, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the creator, there is no difference for him to be pre-modern, modern, post-modern, that age, ancient, modern. There is no difference.
Right.
Because he's the creator and he knows the creatures. When he has created human being to be on this planet as a mission, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter Baqarah, verse 31 says, وَإِذْغَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Human being came to this planet as a mission. And for this mission, revelation is the roadmap.
Right.
Is the content. Scriptures is the content. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just afforded revelation as something remaining, everlasting. Mm-hmm. He is the creator and we are the creatures. He knows us the best than we know ourselves.
So are you saying that the man of the modern world is somehow shifting himself from his nature?
Yeah. So this is the creator and we are the creature. And the very logic of revelation is what? Is human nature. In Islamic Quran interpretation, when they talk about this issue, okay, the everlasting characteristics of the religious laws, particularly Islamic laws, they talk about the compatibility of ontology and convention. Takween wa tashri'. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for a purpose. And for that purpose, He has sent 124,000 prophets.
Right.
And revelation is some laws. This law is very compatible with the creation. So if this is the case, there is no matter to do with you know, time, places, history, ancient, modern, and things like that. The very base of revelation is human nature. And it's not the challenge of modern life. Because you raise this question as a challenge of modern life. Yes, I know. I know that human society is changing. Human beings on this planet are changing. They are changing. Each and every day they come up with more and more complexity. Okay? But this complexity has nothing to do with revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for a purpose, and with that purpose has sent religions, and Islam is the last. If you take into your account this issue, that Islam is not just something that it could have some more religion after.
Right.
Islam is the seal, is the last. So the laws within this religion is going to be compatible for each and every generation which are coming. Why? Because of the law, logic of nature. Because it is not based on human knowledge. It is based on divine knowledge.
Okay, you're talking about human nature. I would raise this challenge that every human being loves beauty, right? And on the other hand, because women are generally speaking more attractive beings in terms of physical appearance than men, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered women to practice hijab, to observe hijab, to cover everywhere except their faces and their hands up until their wrists. So wouldn't this be contradictory to the nature of women? Don't women like to express their beauty, expose their beauty, be appreciated, be admired by other people? But when you're being covered, in today's world, not only you're not appreciated, people walk up to you in the street. If you're living in Western countries, especially if you're living in Scandinavian countries, people call you terrorist. They pull your scarf off your head, and they're always looking at you in pity. So, isn't that contradictory to human nature?
It will be contradictory if Islam or Islamic teachings just close and shut all gates. All windows, mm-hmm. all doors. It is forbidden for women to show off, to come to the public with their beauty, to come to the public with makeup. But, on the other hand, Islamic teachings seriously invited and called women to provide their beauty and show off within the family. As a kind of obligation, as a type of duty, as a type of responsibility. So, if you don't have the chance to go to the public, this is for the sake of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you, when you go to the public, you will be...
You mean go to the public when you're all exposed and you're all decorated and beautified.
Ornaments, you know, and makeup, and perfume, and you're just wearing all types of this. Okay, so you're not allowed to go to the public because you agreed with someone to be exclusive. And when we talk about exclusiveness, we just not only talk about sexual intercourse. Your husband is for yourself. And yourself is for your husband exclusively. Your beauty, your dressed up, what your all types of good characters that you could and you may have is for your husband. So you have the chance to show off, to show your beauty, to show yourself, to be yourself within the family pattern. But when you go outside, exactly the same danger, the same risk, the same pathology that could come to you through sexual intercourse, it could come to you through show off. Because people will come to you. You will be under attack. You will be manipulated. You will be shared. And it is very interesting.
And
very interesting.
It goes in line with the data we received that, like, in days of Valentine or in days that people are less stressed, those days women are more tended to be raped than
exactly.
In ordinary days.
Exactly. You know, this is, all I could say, this could be the matter of violation that you will have, you will receive, you will be violated. Why? Because when you are beautiful, whoever comes to you, this is the nature. I'm a human being. Yeah. I tend to come to you. This is my nature. Mm-hmm. So Islam provides you opportunity to show yourself, to be
but
yourself.
But at the same time, be protected. Okay, just a short review. We talked about the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mm-hmm. being based on revelation, the rules of man, of the life of man being based on revelation, that Allah created us and He best knows the rules that suit our nature and our benefits. Second of all, we know that, as I said, God is the one who created us Himself, so He best knows the rules that apply to our lives.
Okay.
Then we said that...
One more point here. You know, error and compatibility comes with regard to human knowledge, not with regard to divine knowledge. Because there is no error. They're all reality and facts.
And then we said that, of course, human beings are, the rules of Islam are compatible with the nature of man. And we argued that the men of today, the people of today, are going against their nature because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have pre-modern or post-modern or modern. He's all knowledge, so he best knows what to do. And last of all, we said that if Islam forbids man or woman from doing a certain thing, He provides substitutes for them so that He does not cut off their desire. And as an example, we gave hijab, that women are prevented from showing off their beauty outside the house, but within their house, not only they're allowed, they're also encouraged. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us in the first part of our programs. Don't go away, because we'll be right back with you with the second part of the program of Muslim Family.
Sometimes when the world's not on your side, you don't know where to run to, you don't know where to hide. You gaze at the stars in the sky, at the mountains so high, through the tears in your eyes, looking for a reason to replace what is gone. Just remember, remember that you are never alone.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome back. This is Fatima Shamli speaking to you from the program Muslim Family. The expert of our program is Dr. Abbas Ali Shamli. Welcome back. In the first part of the programs, we talked about the adaptability or the applicability of the rules of Islam to the man of the modern time. And now at this part of the programs, we're going to talk about the differences of the adaptability of the rules of Islam for families versus the adaptability of rules of the West in terms of family issues. So we said that the rules of Islam are completely compatible with man's nature, that man's nature has been constant and it has not been changing. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, He best knows what are the best rules to govern us.
There is no, matter of error, change.
Okay.
And replacement.
Right. So, we also said, this point was really interesting for me personally, that you said that there are substitutes in Islam. We don't block off anything. So can you tell me, can you give me the general idea that you want to argue about in this part of the programs, that how would you compare and contrast the applicability of the rules of Islam versus the Western world in terms of family issues?
This is very important. To me, the Islamic laws, the Islamic rulings, in terms of, family, particularly we talk about, family standards and family paradigms. Okay, in Islam, always, always you'll come with alternatives and substitutes. Always. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La ruhbaniyat fil Islam.
Mm-hmm.
In Islam, there is no isolation. Always, always, you need to live within the family.
The society.
There were a couple of, companions decided to be perfect men. And they decided to distance from their family and go to a cave, to a corner, and try to pray, fast, and, do many other things to be perfect. And to come up with perfection, they isolated from the family and left all jobs, efforts, and things like that. They just went on the corner. So what could we do? Is it Islam? Is it the teaching that you provide? Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the companions and said, what are you doing here, man? If you die in this way, in this manner, you're not dying as a Muslim. You're not dying as Muslims. La ruhbaniyat fil Islam. There's no isolation. In Islam, you need to come up with perfection within the family, within the social relationships, not only family. You need to have job, you need to have work, you need to have social efforts and things like that. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Because of this in Islam, you don't have institutions, provided to males, females, to be isolated from the family, to be monk, to be, female, male. Having spiritual journey isolated from social activity and things like that. We don't have this. Always, always Islam stay with human nature. And this is a need to be together. This is a need. If there was no family, there was no peace.
So
there was no tranquility. When you compare Islam with Christianity,
mm-hmm.
with Judaism, with Hinduism, Buddhism, and other. In Islam, everything must be within the social context.
But how would you compare and contrast the rules of Islam with the rules of the Western world?
This is the comparison. The comparison is that in the West, even the laws of religion, Christianity, Judaism, and things, are manipulated or fabricated. But in Islam, the laws are going to be exactly authentic, okay, and based on human nature. I remember that Allama Shahid Sayyid Muhammad Baqir Sadr, Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, was talking about the very base of Islamic legal system. He says, when you look into the legal system, value system, and belief system, you will realize that always, always, the logic of nature is behind. And he provides the example of people of Lot, Prophet Lot. He says Prophet Lot was just fighting against his nation because they decided to be homosexual. And interesting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, نَادِيكُمُ الْمُنْكَرِ Homosexuality, being lesbian or gay, is both munkar. Munkar means unknown. Unknown to what? Unknown to your nature. If you are a human being, you need to be couple. Because you are created couple. You have been created as couple.
Mm-hmm.
So if you distance from your nature, then you have to pay the cost. And Allama Shahid Sadr says that, look, they couldn't remain. They couldn't last. after a very short while, the whole nation collapsed. Why? Wherever, whether in ancient time, in pre-modern, in modern, in post-modern, in any period, when humanity distances from the nature, they have to pay the cost. And the cost is very expensive, very heavy.
Right.
Why? Because you just distance the normal, real way. You went with fabricated solutions. And those fabricated solutions, always, always, you need to pay the cost. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about alcohol in the Holy Quran, mm-hmm. it says that, you know, it happens, and it happened in the West, that they went and had investigated, okay? They had investigated the results, the consequences of drinking alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, okay, in according to this and that laboratory, you know, test, there is absolutely some good result for human body when you drink alcohol. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, of course, you could come up with some positive good results, but إِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْئِهِمَا. When you put all together,
the harm is greater.
The sins, the negative consequences, and the cost that you have to pay for the collapse.
Mm. Okay. You know, Dr. Shamli, you mentioned an issue, and you said that the Western societies, or you gave the example of Qawm Lut,
yes.
The nation of Prophet Lut, that they went against their nature and they paid the consequences. If we want to apply it to today's world, uh-huh. what do you think are the consequences that the Western world is paying? Because you said that the Western world is going against their nature.
Yeah.
So what is the consequences that they are paying now?
You know, the disease of HIV... And other types of disease that humanity is getting to pay the very, very heavy cost. AIDS, HIV, SARS, these types of disease that we humanity are paying for nothing. You know, in Halloween, in other occasion, and in normal occasion, we are just violating all rules, all barriers, and intermingled in a way that there is no solution. Sometimes we pay in a heavy way that there is no solution.
So like the Qawm Lut that you mentioned, because they were homosexuals, and then you said that all of a sudden their generation vanished. And Allama Sadr says that the reason possibly for that could have been HIV or like diseases of that kind, but because at that time there wasn't advanced like knowledge like
yeah.
today, they didn't know what the name of the disease
yeah,
was.
Exactly.
But they were afflicted of a disease, and this is not necessarily because of God's punishment, because the world works on a cause and effect basis,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So like they do this, then they have to pay the price. So it's not necessarily punishment. Okay. In this part, we talked about the differences the applicability of the rules of Western society to
yeah.
families and the rules of Muslim societies to their family issues. We said that, generally speaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man, and he has provided for us through revelation the best source of, and the most perfect source of rules. They are not changeable. They are constant. And also, you said that the reason, the proof that we can give to the fact that Islam and the rules that it provides is compatible to the modern society is, first of all, the nature of man. And second of all, we've seen the consequences that the Western world or other societies are paying, like the Qawm Lut, who suddenly disappeared. We hope you enjoyed our discussion. Please stay with us to listen to the rest of the words of Dr. Shamli.
You are never alone.
You are never alone.
Just reach into your heart and Allah is always there. You are never alone.
You are never alone.
Through sorrow and through grief, through happiness and peace, you are never alone. So now, as you long for your past, prepare for your future, but knowing nothing's gonna last.
Now we're going to listen to Dr. Sean Mali giving us the final words he has to say about this program that we discussed today. I want you to, in 1 minute, very shortly, give me the message that our listeners can get from all that we discussed today.
Yeah, you know, as a whole, as a conclusion, I could say that Islamic family paradigm is based on human creation.
Mm-hmm.
Compatibility of tashri' and takween. Laws, legal system, and ontological system. When I say ontological, you know, coming into being, the creation.
Mm-hmm.
They're compatible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for a purpose. To meet that purpose, has provided prophets, scriptures, and revelation. And these are compatible. Why? Because they are all based on human nature. Okay? And particularly with regard to male, female, wife and husband relation, Islam only goes by marriage contract, registered. Why? Because within the family, you have the positive results. And those results, there is no peace if no marriage contract.
Mm-hmm.
There is no care and responsibility if there is no marriage contract. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants togetherness to be through a pattern, registered law, in order for your next generation to be known and wanted by yourself. Otherwise, you don't know who is related to who. Because of this, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma bunya fil Islam bina'un ahabba ila Allah ta'ala min at-tazwij." In Islam, there is no institution more beloved, more wanted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than family and marriage. This, because family means protection. Family means tranquility, peace, protection, and responsibility.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sean Mali. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for following our programs until this point. Live happy. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you all.
You see, this life is but a road, a straight and narrow path to our final abode. So travel well, O Muslim, and paradise will be your home. And always remember that you are never alone. You are never alone.
You are never
just reach into your heart and Allah is always there. You are never alone.
Allah is there.
Through sorrow and through grief, through happiness and peace, you are never alone. You are never alone.
You are never alone.
Through sorrow and through grief, through happiness and peace, you are never alone. You are never